org or call 718-624-5921. That's African Americans Against the Bomb with Vincent J. Antonde, Friday, January 29th, 6:30 p.m. at Word Books.
I have a dream.
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 Today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, Every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California, but not only that, let freedom ring. From Stone Mountain of Georgia, let freedom ring. From Lookout Mountain of Tennessee, let freedom ring. From every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Thank you. every now and then I guess we all think realistically about that day when we will be victimized with what is life's final common denominator. That's something we call death. We all think about it, and every now and then I think about my own death, and I think about my own funeral, and I don't think of it in a morbid sense. Every now and then I ask myself, what is it that I would want said? And I leave the word to you this morning. If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk to you now. And every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the walk with them. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word of song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian, or if I can bring salvation to a world once warped, if I can spread the message as the master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your right or your left side. Not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side. Not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition. But I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth. And in commitment to others so that we can make of this old world a new world.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, and that, of course, was a great Dr. King. And what you've been listening to for the last, almost 15 minutes now, was the Night Shift Martin Luther King mix. That was part one, Byron.
And that's good stuff.
And this was actually, this was a commission.
Yes.
By the general manager. He says, Mike, Bertolt said to me, I'm expecting something great from you for Martin Luther King Day.
Excellent.
I said, okay. He says, a Martin Luther King mix?
Very good.
I said, yes. Yes, I will.
So listening to the speeches.
Yes.
And I have to say this because back in 1976.
Well, now, before you tell the story, I got to say that we're offering it as a premium
version. I should hope so. It's great stuff.
It's 90 minutes, yes. Okay, of music mixes, okay, and then it has some bonus tracks like this, but
yes.
Which are just songs that other musicians have done that relate
to
Martin Luther King.
Yes.
But if you call now, do you know the number, Martin?
212-209-2950.
That's correct, Byron. Yes, you got it right. And for a $50 pledge, you can get this special only get it here night shift Martin Luther King mix. And it's something that I made just for the show, just for Martin Luther King Day. I've never done it before. Byron, I've done, you know, Chris and I used to do like war mixes and stuff like that, but it's very interesting, and Chris doesn't seem to be calling, but it's interesting, Byron, to be doing this show with you.
Yes.
On the eve of Martin Luther King Day. So, for a $50 pledge, Byron, which is why we're here, to raise money for the station, because this is a place where we do and can do programming like we've had all day. 212-209-2950. For a $50 pledge, you can get the CD. It's over 90 minutes long, plus some bonus tracks, and it is free with a $50 pledge.
Wow.
Is that not great?
It's amazing.
That is, come on. And I got to tell you, I took a lot of time, Byron. I laid down, I thought, I listened to the speeches all weekend, and...
What did you... Because what I was going to say,
I know what you're
going to
say. 212-209-2950. I did, but I put a lot of work into it, and I searched for songs.
What did you discover when you listened to the speeches?
The biggest thing I discovered, Byron, is not that much has changed. The biggest thing. But I discovered a number of things.
Yes, I'm
and
sure.
We'll discuss that
we'll
on the show.
We'll talk about that for sure.
212-209-2950. You can get this special Night Shift Martin Luther King music mix. It's essentially DGM and Martin. Martin and DGM. You
great mix.
You understand?
Yes.
212-209-2950.
Yes.
Now, and part of it, hopefully, Byron, is, you know, when you have a CD like this, you can play this to people who might not necessarily listen to Martin Luther King speeches. Like, when are you in the mood to listen to Martin Luther King speech? Now, I think a person, of course, as evolved as yourself, Byron, periodically throughout the year put on Martin. But
I do.
Having it with the music that I think hopefully underscores. Did you like that first part?
Absolutely. I've heard that speech.
You've heard that speech
many
yes.
times.
And did you feel the music work? The music.
Absolutely. It's a very moving piece.
Yes,
and
yes,
when listening to Martin speak, he has a cadence that is very lyrical. It is extremely lyrical. And that's what draws you in, because it's the emotional passion that he puts into every single word. It has power.
212-209-2950. The Night Shift Martin Luther King
Jr.
music mixes. Speeches, mixes, special mix.
Yes.
Night Shift mix.
Absolutely.
And there are people back there to take your call right now. And remember, it's only going to be here for the next, you know, whatever it is, hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That's it. Then it's gone forever.
It's gone. Off the table.
So this is something you can break out every Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
Play to your kids. You know what I'm saying?
As you say that,
you were calling something from 1976.
No. Well, I'll come back to that. But I was just going to say that I spoke to my sons, because you know their kids are off during this day, and I said to them, instead of just enjoying the day off, go online, do a little bit of biographical research on Martin Luther King, learn who our heroes and sheroes are.
I have a dream.
Just to know the name is not enough. You come from a proud people, a rich people, a powerful people. And if you really want to understand who you are, where you are, and where you're going, you really have to know your roots and your history.
Did you say this to your son?
I sure did.
Just like that? Verbatim?
Just like
verbatim?
That.
Verbatim?
Verbatim.
Be interesting to have you as a father, Brian.
You know? I want them to know, because I'm having them write something for me. And say,
oh,
I asked
really?
Them, I said, listen.
You gave them an assignment.
I gave them an assignment. They're both, one's 13, one's 12, and 11. And I said to them, your assignment is this. What does it mean for you to be an African-American male?
Okay.
That's which means sign. That you have to research. You have to know
well,
your history.
You have to at least look.
Or look.
And gain some perspective.
That's right.
So that's good, Byron. Very good.
Yes.
Very good, Byron. 212-209-2950.
Make
for
that
a $50 pledge.
That's
you can
right.
get this free. Now, this is part of the bonus tracks that you get.
Yes. The mix.
Bonus mixes. These are bonus mixes. You know, you could have this.
Yes.
Play at your Martin Luther King party.
Yes.
Okay. You have a party, Byron?
I was in reflection today. My party was solid.
Party of one.
Yes. And I cried. I listened.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Because I was going to say in 76, I had a chance to play the role of Martin Luther King Jr.
Really? You played Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yes.
I understand.
And
you played him?
Yes. And it was a play called The Life of a King. And... the challenge was that I was not the person who was supposed to play the role. I actually had to step in and play the role because the person who was supposed to do it couldn't do it. And I had to immerse myself into...
You and the understanding?
Sort of. I had to immerse myself into the speeches, the feeling, the cadence, and begin to understand it. And I can tell you, over a weekend of just listening over and over and trying to get the style of the speech itself.
You know, it's funny. I have a similar story.
And so it was a moving it was a moving experience for me because it drove me deep into the character and the personality. And mind you, when I did this play for a theater company that was a part of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, a theater called People's Survival Theater in Atlanta, Georgia. Mm. And we did the play at Wheat Street Baptist Church, the original, which was Abernathy's old church. And
212.
So it was an amazing journey that I had to take in learning Martin Luther King Jr. And I have a deep and profound respect for it. Not to mention that I was there at the first anniversary, the first day celebrated for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's very nice, Brian.
Mike, that was an amazing,
That's amazing.
There were 2 million people out there to see the parade. But what was more phenomenal than anything is that if you didn't know anything about the civil rights movement, it was not about standing on the side of the street and watching marchers participate in an active, peaceful demonstration. It was about getting into the street and being recognized as being a part of the demonstration. And
well,
so,
that, now that's a good point to say, to segue
into
why people should pledge, Brian.
Yes, exactly.
Because it is about being part of it. And when you pledge for WBAI and you support the station, public radio in general, you're really being part of it. You're
that's
being
right.
part of it. You know, if you believe in public radio, you want it to be there.
Get involved.
You literally have to pledge. You
that's
have
right.
to. If you listen to it, if you enjoy it, if you gain something from it, you have to pledge. You really do, because that's your way of saying yes, I'd like it to be there. Just like you pay for your cable or your TV or your lectures
right.
or anything else that you feel is a necessity in your life. And the other thing you said that's important, Brian, is, you know, the idea of doing the research. You know, you could listen to BAI all day.
This is a very educational program.
And this
station.
This station.
Yes.
And you can listen to the station all day and gain a lot of knowledge
about it.
Because how many stations are playing? You know, in New York, playing Martin Luther King speeches. I'm going to go to part two. I'm going to play a segment to you, but I want you to think about it. I want you to think about, as Byron said, the power of learning your place and learning your history and being aware of your past and the heritage. Not even if you're not African American, still part of the heritage of this country. If you're here, even
right.
if you're not a citizen, it's the place you're living, it's the place you're at, and it is part of world history.
That's right.
And what he did and those speeches are historic, world historic. So, bring it up to today, 212-209-2950. You can make your pledge now. For a $50 pledge, you can get this Night Shift Martin Luther King music mix.
It's fantastic.
The sermon which I am preaching this morning, in a sense, is not the usual kind of sermon, but it is a sermon and an important subject nevertheless, because the issue that I will be discussing today is one of the most controversial issues confronting our nation. I'm using as a subject from which to preach why I am opposed to the war in Vietnam. Now let me make it clear in the beginning that I see this war as an unjust, evil, and futile war. I preach to you today on the war in Vietnam because my conscience leaves me with no other choice. The time has come for America to hear the truth about this tragic war. In international conflicts, the truth is hard to come by because most nations are deceived about themselves. Rationalizations and the incessant search for scapegoats are the psychological cataracts that blind us to our sin. But the day has passed for superficial patriotism. He who lives with untruth lives in spiritual slavery. Freedom is still the bonus we receive for knowing the truth. Ye shall know the truth, says Jesus, and the truth shall set you free. Now, I've chosen to preach about the war in Vietnam today because I agree with Dante that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, in a period of moral crisis, maintain their neutrality. There comes a time when silence is betrayal. The truth of these words is beyond doubt, but the mission to which they call us is the most difficult one. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. Nor does the human spirit move without great difficulty. Against all the apathy of conformist thought within one's own bosom and in the surrounding world. Moreover, when the issues at hand seem as perplexing as they often do in the case of this dreadful conflict, we are always on the verge of being mesmerized by uncertainty. But we must move on. Some of us who have already begun to break the silence of the night have found that the calling to speak is often a vocation of agony. But we must speak. We must speak with all the humility that is appropriate to our limited vision, but we must speak. And we must rejoice as well, for in all our history, there has never been such a monumental descent during a war by the American people. Polls reveal that almost 15 million Americans explicitly oppose the war in Vietnam. Additional millions cannot bring themselves around to support it. Even those millions who do support the war have caught it, confused and doubt-ridden. This reveals that millions have chosen to move beyond the prophesying of smooth patriotism to the high grounds of firm dissent based upon the mandates of conscience and the reading of history. Now, of course, one of the difficulties in speaking out today grows out of the fact that there are those who are seeking to equate dissent with disloyalty. It's a dark day in our nation when high-level authorities will seek to use every method to silence dissent. Something is happening and people are not going to be silent. The truth must be told. And I say that those who are seeking to make it appear that anyone who opposes the war in Vietnam is a fool or a traitor or an enemy of our soldiers is a person who has taken a stand against the best in our tradition. Yes, we must stand and we must speak. Over the past 2 years, as I have moved to break the betrayal of my own silences and to speak from the burnings of my own heart, as I have called for radical departures from the destruction of Vietnam, many persons have questioned me about the wisdom of my past. At the heart of their concerns, this query has often loomed large and loud. Why are you speaking about the war, Dr. King? Why are you joining the voices of dissent? Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. So this morning I speak to you on this issue because I'm determined to take the gospel seriously. I come this morning to my pulpit to make a passionate plea to my beloved nation. This sermon is not addressed to Hanoi or to the National Liberation Front. It is not addressed to China or to Russia, nor is it an attempt to overlook the ambiguity of the total situation and the need for a collective solution to the tragedy of Vietnam. Neither is it an attempt to make North Vietnam of the National Liberation Front paragons of virtue, nor to overlook the role they must play in a successful resolution of the problem. This morning, however, I wish not to speak with Hanoi and the National Liberation Front, but rather to my fellow Americans who bear the greatest responsibility and ended a conflict that has exacted a heavy price on both continents.
And you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. Of course, that was Martin Luther King. And what you heard of the music and the mix and the speech is part of the Night Shift Martin Luther King music mixes that we're offering as a premium for a mere $50 pledge, Martin. Mere.
Interesting tracks that you've selected.
Yes.
For these speeches. There's a nice resonance that's mixing.
Who's there?
Good morning.
It's Chris. Chris is calling in.
How are you this
morning? So, Chris, are you listening to the mixes here?
It's just amazing.
So,
I could listen to that 24 hours a day.
It is. Now, you had something you wanted to say, Byron, about the words and the power of words, because I felt,
notice when Martin speaks, he's very careful for which words he uses. Each word has been measured and stated in a proposition that is based on nonviolence.
Well, he definitely, you know, to me, he's such a brilliant orator and so compelling. You know, there was one line in there, he says, and these are the cataracts that blind our soul. I thought, wow, you know, this is a man who is meant to clearly speak and motivate people.
And when he spoke, he knew how to use and phrase the word so that it really gave power to it.
212-209-2950. For a $50 pledge now, I'd like to see at least three, four pledges come in. Wouldn't that be nice, Marion? To support the station, support Martin Luther King. And this is a great thing to give to a young person, I think, or someone who you know appreciates.
What were your remembrances on the first day you celebrated Martin Luther King's birthday? What were your remembrances?
Well, I'll tell you that in a minute, but Byron.
Yeah.
If you keep listening to the show, but you have to call.
But you got
to
pay for this now. You got to pay for this
call. You got to tell people to call.
212-209-2950.
Do you have any Martin thoughts of your own?
Well, you know, what I found was very interesting is when, I mean, it's probably known, or maybe you guys know already, but when he was doing the I Have a Dream speech, that it was actually a speech that was written in, it wasn't actually, it was kind of two parts. And the first part was kind of written out, I think nine paragraphs, and he started giving the speech, and Mahalia Jackson, who was sitting near him, shouted out to him, or said to him, Martin, tell him about the dream. And Martin had,
you hear that in the background,
yes, kind of heard her, obviously, and gave her kind of like a vibe that he had kind of gotten it, and then he put the speech to the left of the podium and gave I Have a Dream pretty much right on the spot. And
you were watching the video.
Well, I heard this from someone who was one of the speech writers, and he had he's written a book about it and stuff, and I that was pretty much coming from someone that was there and was part of the whole movement, and I just thought that was just amazing, you know, on top of it being an amazing speech, that you know, that was coming from the heart and from him being as this gentleman had said, that he was coming from a place of getting back to some real preaching, in the sense of being a preacher and opening everyone's mind to a better way of thinking. And
212-209-2950.
You know, and offering this and having this available is you know, it's not as easy to get all of this stuff in one place, in the sense, and have it available to you, it's a treasure, and will be a treasure, because he was one of the most prolific speakers that we will ever know.
212-209-2950. And I've also included some bonus tracks, Byron. Bonus tracks.
Ooh, what's that?
These are the bonus tracks you're hearing in the background.
You want something more than your eyesight? I thought for a while.
212-209-2950.
My eyes.
You get all of this,
and a terrible fear crept over me.
Night shift.
To realize,
oh yeah,
that I understood what she was talking about.
212-209-2950.
I screamed out loud.
A $50 pledge, and you. All right,
thank you
for that person who was just
blessed.
Thank you. Ding 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 ding. You know,
yeah,
it's something worth having.
Yes, buy this.
I spent time putting this together for you.
I understand.
I have more. I have more. Yeah. And I searched. I scanned. I scoured.
So please don't
scour.
See what is important.
You know what it is to scour?
To scour?
Do you know what it is to scour?
Yes, you were doing some serious scouring.
I understand. He understands.
You know, can I add one more thing, Mike?
What?
There was nowhere I could run. Every time, and this is the truth, I would say, you know, 90% of the time, 80-90% of the time, I listen to or get to hear or have the opportunity to listen to one of Martin's speeches. I hear something else sometimes, if that makes any sense to you, or, you know, I get inspired, or any of those, you know, incredibly positive feelings. But I sometimes I hear something else, or I think of something different. It takes me in a different direction. Does that happen to you? Do you guys feel that way sometimes? I mean,
as a person who espouses the practice of nonviolence, which is the
212-209
his credo,
2950,
based on a Judeo-Christian ethics. Remember, he was a preacher, a Southern Baptist preacher, and his ministry was to follow the concepts of the Prince of Peace, known as Christ. And so he preaches the word. He gathers people. He had the opportunity to speak to America and the world.
Well, it's very, very unique, in a very unique position for a number of reasons. Because, you know, the preacher, you know, you talk about speakers, you know, to preach is probably, you know, the oldest form of, you know, public speaking. You know what I'm saying, Martin?
Yes, and then to be and adhere to the concepts of Christian theology as Prince of Peace, to kill a person who wants to make that a world order. Indeed, you know, you kill the dream. And so in terms of his politics of Christianity, he excelled beyond because he gave his life as well. And he defended it. He defended his theology.
212-209.
You listen to that last speech.
2950. The one that where he talks about how he'd like to be remembered.
Church, yes.
Yes. That's a heavy speech. Did you listen to that one,
yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. That's kind of why it just gave me.
It's a really heavy speech. It's a really
yes,
heavy speech.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And it's heavy then it's heavy with irony
with
now to
so
listen to.
So much irony because we know so much that has followed afterwards,
right,
of course.
Right.
But to really adhere and understand, we killed a Prince of Peace. That's what is dangerous when we allow
That's the history of humanity.
Yes,
Byron.
Humanity.
212-209.
So we have a lot to work on.
2950.
So yes, buy
$50
this.
Pledge.
Make
pledge.
This pledge.
Now you're not just buying. Understand that this is you're pledging. You're supporting. You know, don't think we're here selling you something. We're here asking for you to support us and to keep us here so
right.
we can do this. I mean, I'm looking at a microphone that says "Mic not works." Okay.
212.
Right. Clearly.
209.
Right. Well, that's
2950. And we really appreciate it. I'm kind of going on a serious tip because Martin Luther King is something that I don't play
but
with.
But we have to.
You know,
get
so I mean, I really.
Raise,
oh, yeah.
You understand.
Yes, but be serious about the
to be
raising.
Be serious about yes.
the raising of the money.
That's right. And we thank you. Look, we did it again.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, I'm going to go to part three.
212.
I'm going to go to part three.
209-2950. We thank you for your support now.
Yeah, did you know Rick Wakeman? Do you know who Rick Wakeman is?
Yes, yes, yes.
Chris, you know who Rick Wakeman is?
Yeah, I told you. I hung out with Yes. Remember
right,
I told
right,
you?
Okay.
I sent you that picture.
Well, that's right, back in the day,
yes,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, Rick Wakeman wrote this with another guy. Rick Wakeman wrote a Martin Luther King song.
Wow.
Is that
of course he did.
You did deep in your research. So this is a one-time offer. So we can get this for how much?
$50? Yes.
212-209-2950. This is why Night Shift is my favorite show. Mm-hmm. Now, pick up the phone. Give us a call. Tell us how much you love us. Do you love us, Mike?
Tell us how much you love us.
Yes, come on now.
I can
pick
hear
up
you
the
at
phone.
Home. Leaving messages to you.
I love you, Byron.
Come on, baby, call me.
Byron,
tell
man.
Tell me how much you love me.
You're on it tonight, man. You've got the bicycle and you're moving.
Yes, well, this is the day we're celebrating and they asked us to do this, so let's give it to them. So.
Do you have that speech, the keep moving speech? Is that part
the keep moving speech. I got the Byron's keep moving speech. I'm going to go to...
See, Mike has the music and he did the research now.
I did the research.
So I'm letting him roll with the research.
Shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I'll let you hear a little of the end of part two because it's, hold on a second. I'm going to let you hear part three.
these children, unoffending, innocent, and beautiful, were the victims of one of the most vicious and tragic crimes ever perpetrated against humanity. Yet they died nobly. They are the martyred herons of a holy crusade for freedom and human dignity. And so this afternoon, in a real sense, they have something to say to each of us in that death. They have something to say to every minister of the gospel who has remained silent behind the safe security of stained glass windows. They have something to say to every politician who has fed his constituents with the stale bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. They have something to say to a federal government that has compromised with the undemocratic practices of Southern Dixiecrats and the blatant hypocrisy of right-wing Northern Republicans. They have something to say to every Negro who has passively accepted the evil system of segregation and who has stood on the sidelines in a mighty struggle for justice. They say to each of us, black and white alike, that we must substitute courage for caution. They say to us that we must be concerned not merely about who murdered them, but about the system, the way of life, the philosophy which produced the murderers. That death says to us that we must work passionately and unrelentingly for the realization of the American dream. And so, my friends, they did not die in vain. God still has a way of wringing good out of evil. And history has proven over and over again that unmerited suffering is redemptive. The innocent blood of these little girls may well serve as a redemptive force that will bring new light to this dark city. The Holy Scripture says, a little child shall lead them. The death of these little children may lead our whole Southland from the low road of man's inhumanity to man to the high road of peace and brotherhood. These tragic deaths may lead our nation to substitute an aristocracy of character for an aristocracy of color. The spilled blood of these innocent girls may cause the whole citizenry of Birmingham to transform the negative extremes of a dark past into the positive extremes of a bright future. Indeed, this tragic event may cause the White South to come to terms with its conscience. And so I stand here to say this afternoon to all assembled here that in spite of the darkness of this hour, we must not despair. We must not become bitter. Nor must we harbor the desire to retaliate with violence. No, we must not lose faith in our white brothers. Somehow we must believe that the most misguided among them can learn to respect the dignity and the worth of all human personality. I say to you in conclusion, life is hard. At times as hard as crucible steel. It has its bleak and difficult moments. Like the ever-flowing waters of the river.
Saunders.
Whoa.
212-209-2950.
That was the death by the death of the four little bombs.
Yes.
Girls bombs in Birmingham.
What do you think? Did you understand?
Oh, every single word, because the phrasing and intention of understanding the overcoming a hatred and using nonviolence as if you remember the 60s were very critical in terms of trying to understand the concept of integration.
Mm-hmm.
We had segregation,
mm-hmm.
and the making the transition to an integrated society.
Yes.
Had to let go of a lot of segregation that was Old South and had been federally overturned so that in place was a government to deal with it. But the resistance to
212-209-2950 for a $50 pledge
brought us to this moment where you pick up the phone.
You can pick up the phone and support.
You give us a
station.
Call.
We're trying to do some different things.
212-209-2950. That's right. We're a little serious this evening, but we mean what we say. That's right. This music is awesome, Mike.
For you too. Life has a soothing. Chris, are you enjoying?
Oh, you know, just you can whatever you want to play. It's just like I said, I can listen to it all the time. I mean, it's just love to, and just, you know, I don't think Martin's speeches get played enough, actually.
If the music is good, you'll play this at home. You'll be like, you know what?
That's why we have a day that works celebrates.
Works on two levels.
That's right? That's why we have a day that celebrates his birthday.
212-209-2950.
Yes.
Make that pledge now. It's a $50 pledge. I want to thank the few people who have
yes,
called
ding,
and made
ding,
that
ding,
pledge.
Ding, 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 ding.
Let's see if we can get another three
you.
Pledges. That would
That's
be really
right.
nice.
That would be great.
I'll play you a little more of part three. This is part three because it's four parts, Mark.
212-209-2950. How much of a pledge?
A $50 pledge.
That's it.
And you get this free. Along with the songs that I have.
And the conversation.
The conversation is free.
Free.
It's free right now.
I mean, you'd have to pay big bucks for this.
There you go.
What'd
you say?
212-209-2950. That's right. It's pledge time, folks. Get real. Get honest. Show us some
Get
love.
Get the CD. It's $50. Yes. 90-minute CD. You'll love it.
Yes.
And transform dark and desolate valleys into sunlit paths of inner peace. And so today you do not walk alone. You gave to this world wonderful children. They didn't live long lives, but they lived a meaningful life. Their lives were distressingly small in quantity, but glowingly large in quality. And no greater tribute can be paid to you as parents, and no greater epitaph can come to them as children. And where they died, and what they were doing when they died. They did not die in the dives and dens of Birmingham. Nor did they die discussing and listening to filthy jokes. They died between the sacred walls of the Church of God. And they were discussing the eternal meaning of love. This stands out as a beautiful, beautiful thing for all generations. Shakespeare had Horatio to say some beautiful words as he stood over the dead body of Hamlet. And today, as I stand over the remains of these beautiful, darling girls, I paraphrase the words of Shakespeare. Good night, sweet princesses. Good night, those who symbolize a new day. And may the flight of angels take thee to thy eternal rest. God bless you.
Two one two, 209. 2950.
What do you think?
Give
Chris?
Us a call. Make a pledge.
Yeah.
WB.
Are you enjoying it?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
212-209-2950. That's just part three. Like I said, there are four parts. It is now 12:59. There's only 1 hour left.
Not bad. Hey, we're cooking, baby.
Well, let's get some. Come on, we need to get
three more pledges.
Three more pledges.
Let's
212-209-2950.
You're back there waiting.
Let's see if we can get. Then I can play a little more to you, and you can enjoy the music and the speeches and what we're doing. And Martin Luther King.
Mike.
Yes.
Did I ever tell you the story that I was in Atlanta for the first Martin Luther King Day celebration?
Wow.
I could tell you a wonderful story.
Was that what year was that? 2000 or what was that?
No, 1987. Yes. It was an amazing event.
212-209.
I participated.
2950. I want to hear it, Byron.
Yes.
But we need to get three
but
pledges.
But we got to get the pledges.
Get three pledges, and then we can tell the story.
If y'all don't make the pledge.
Three pledges, we can tell, hear Byron's story. I want to know what happened. Byron was there.
I was there, Mike.
212-209. Think about it.
Yes.
Listen to Martin, and think about, is this something you'd like to own? You know, you can get pulled in by the speeches and the music.
Show some love for WBAI.
212.
We're giving you great radio.
209-2950.
That's why this show is my favorite show.
I'm going to play a few minutes, Byron.
Yes.
And let's see if people listening can just listen and say, you know what? I'm going to get it. 212-209-2950.
Night shift got serious.
People back there right now taking your pledge.
That's right. They're waiting.
And exploitation of the Negro or any other minority group is the price of its own destruction. For the hour is late. The clock of destiny is ticking out, and we must act now before it is too late. The events of Birmingham, Alabama, and the more than 60 communities that have started protest movements.
212-209-2950.
Make the pledge.
Make the pledge.
Yes.
Would you play this to your children?
Yes. Absolutely.
You think they might enjoy it?
See, I'm a proponent of the peace theory and nonviolence because, see, you think about the great leaders of our time in the 20th century who have been nonviolent, Mahatma Gandhi being one of them. You know, I mean, we understand the need to follow an initiative of peace. And these were public demonstrations of hatred. And so we need to kind of understand what that is. Initiative of peace is all about. If it's Christianity, whatever your religion and source of a God that says that you should have peace in your life as opposed to war, then that's where we should be, is dealing with the efforts of peace.
Dealing with the efforts of peace.
That's right.
212-209-2950. For a $50 pledge, you can get these Night Shift Martin Luther King mixes.
It's
part three.
Stuff.
It's four parts. Four parts for you. 90 minutes,
yes.
Byron.
Yes.
90:39.
90 minutes? Oh, my goodness.
39
that's
seconds.
That's amazing.
Don't forget the 39 seconds.
39 seconds. 212-209-2950. Now, you know you're loving it. Pick up the phone.
We've had some amazing
some
pledges
love.
Today, Byron. We're,
yes, we did.
We have a lot of premiums.
Okay.
Very interesting.
212-209-2950. And thank you for making that pledge. We really appreciate that. They're back there applauding.
$50 pledge, 212-209-2950.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What was your approach to putting all of assembling this together? Give us a little insight as to what you did.
Well, what I had to do in a lot of ways, you know, I was thinking about two or three things. One, what music I felt could complement the energy of the speeches and what he's talking about, the content of the speeches. What music could maybe offset what he's saying, could maybe give it a little something else that only music can give. And then I also thought about, you know, paying attention. It's very easy to listen to something and not listen to the words, if you know what I'm saying. And I want you to listen to the words, so I even have some things where you have to pay attention to hear what he's saying, because though there may be music in the background, I want you to pay attention, so you have to listen a little. It forces you to listen a little harder. So those are the things I was thinking, and I also wanted to think, of course, you know, where would you listen to this? You know, when, at home, where? And where do the speeches suggest we go musically? Those are the things I was thinking, if that makes any sense.
That's just your vast knowledge of music and bringing that to it. It's kind of like you were kind of creating something different and artistic, even from what is even there and outstanding and incredible and just all that great stuff. You're bringing even more greatness to it, which is really, really cool, Mike.
Ding, yeah. Ding, 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 ding. We hit the board again.
Somebody else agrees with you, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
212-209.
Two more to go.
2952. Well, it reminded me. Yeah, putting it together. I also thought. I had to say. I thought of like when we used to do those war mixes and stuff like that. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Totally. Yes. I totally remember that.
So Byron, so take us. All right. So it's 1986. You said
87.
1987. Okay. And bring us to the first celebration.
Okay. It was about 12 noon. I'm at the corner of North Avenue and West Peachtree, where the start of the
in Atlanta,
where the start of the parade was to happen. The line that existed straight down that street all the way to Peachtree Street, past Macy's, Rich's, down Auburn Avenue to the gravesite was the parade route. All this through downtown Atlanta. Now, there were 2 million people along the site of the parade. It was supposed to start at a certain time. The parade organizers were all there. The bands were all there. Everybody was ready to start
what
the parade.
What month was this?
This was April...
87.
April of 87.
20...
January 15th.
January 15th. 24 years ago.
In Atlanta.
It's a few days ago.
Yes. 1987.
24 years ago.
Yes, for the first celebration of Martin Luther King.
A few days ago, 24 years ago.
And so, therefore, I was there, and there were so many people along the parade route that the parade had to stop before it even got started, because in the parade, because there were so many people got into the streets to be participants of the parade.
So there was nowhere for the parade to go.
Until it started. So as the parade started, everybody got into the streets and marched. You see, you have to understand, part of the concept of the civil rights movement was through marches. And to stand on the sidelines was never part of the movement. The movement was to get people to get into the streets and do a protest march.
March, baby, march.
March. That's exactly right. So people who were standing on the side said, well, you know, the heck with this. We are the spirit of the movement. And with so many civil rights icons and their families who wanted to participate in it, that they got into the streets, and each and every one of them got a chance to be in the parade. If you chose to walk in the parade, it was a people's parade, and the entire event went down without incident and was a celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. It was a very spiritual day, all the way from parade route beginning to the end. I walked it, and I went to the King Center because I worked at the King Center.
So it was just part of what my experience.
Interesting. 212-209.
It was a very celebratory day.
2950.
And it was wonderful. Mm. And we need more days like
that.
And
getting these CDs,
it's wonderful stuff.
Listen to these speeches and have the music playing and everything and enjoying it. You can have your own Martin Luther King Day.
Exactly.
Celebrations.
And we should celebrate it.
I think it's
good
that
peace.
You make your kids, especially having two young black men.
Two young men, that's right.
In this climate.
And I believe in peace. I yield to its concept of nonviolence.
You in spooks?
I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks. Now, if you know where that came from, you really are a...
You're one of Byron's people.
Yes, exactly. But listen to all of this great stuff. Thank you. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding
we hit
ding,
it
ding,
again.
212.
Yes, we're loving you.
Love you.
212-209-2950.
But we don't think of you.
Yes. Why?
We still
because it's my favorite show.
They are telling us over and over again that you're pushing things too fast, and so they're saying cool off. Well, the only answer that we can give to that is that we've cooled off all too long, and that is the danger. There's always the danger if you cool off too much that you will end up in a deep freeze. Well, they're saying you need to put on brakes. The only answer that we can give to that is that the motor's now cranked up and we're moving up the highway of freedom toward the city of equality. And we can't afford to stop now because our nation has a date with destiny. We must keep moving. Then that is another cry. They say, why don't you do it in a gradual manner? Well, gradualism is little more than escapism and do-nothingism, which ends up in standstillism. We know that our brothers and sisters in Africa and Asia are moving with jet-like speed toward the goal of political independence. And in some communities, we are still moving at horse and buggy pace toward the gaining of a hamburger and a cup of coffee at a lunch counter. So we must say now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to transform this pending national elegy into a creative psalm of brotherhood. Now is the time to lift our nation. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of racial justice. Now is the time to get rid of segregation and discrimination. Now is the time. So this social revolution taking place can be summarized in three little words. They are not big words. One does not need an extensive vocabulary to understand them. They are the words all here now. We want all of our rights. We want them here and we want them now. This is the nation.
212-209-2950.
Now the other thing that...
You can get the Night Shift Martin Luther King music mixes. I want to thank those people who have pledged.
Ding,
thank you
ding,
very,
ding, ding,
very
ding,
much.
Ding, ding, we love
but
you.
You too can join those people. You only have 46 minutes left, Byron.
Yes.
That's it. 46 minutes, and then it's gone forever.
They will be part
forever.
Of an elite crowd.
An elite crowd.
And we, that's why we love
part
you.
Part of an elite crowd.
You.
An
212-209-2950. Get this limited
offer. Listen to
Martin,
the Night Shift Way.
This is an amazing track.
Listen to Martin, the Night Shift Way.
Of information.
That's right.
And sound and music.
What a great speaker he was. What a great orator. I mean, all these... The metaphors are so strong, and I get what you're saying, Byron, because he, you know... You really can't argue with him. He's such an eloquent speaker, but he's speaking about peace. He's speaking about equality. He's not, you know, he's in your face, but he's in your face with love.
With love, man.
With, like, hey, these are just basic things. No, I'm not backing down.
It's based on a theology.
And he was able to take everything and yes. I don't think we could be where we are today as people if it were not for him. He was that significant. And I have to say, Byron, it's interesting that, you know, now, you know, in the age of Obama, okay, the promise fulfilled. Now what, Byron? You know, now this is all this other work that has to be done, sort of from the other way around. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
In terms of heritage and knowledge of how we got here and
when you put
all of it.
When you put it into perspective
of
what's going on now, it has impact, serious impact, but it also points to the need for dialogue and peaceful agendas.
Mm. And listening to Martin Luther King speeches.
And yes.
That you could get here right now.
Absolutely. 212-209-2950.
Have to bring it back home, Byron.
So, Mike.
What?
Yes. Let's go back to this basic question right now for you. So what does Martin Luther King mean to you?
Quite a bit, you know. Like I said, listening to these speeches, you know, I had to listen to them and realizing how he's addressing all these serious issues and all the turmoil and the time that it was. You know, you can't take away that whole period from the late 50s to the late 60s. How much change was going on in this country?
Malcolm X.
You know, all of it.
I mean, we can name the ones who have been trying to make change.
All of it.
In this
all
life.
Of it. They all had a big part of Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad is alive, but he's still suffering.
I'm just saying that they all had a lot to do with the changing of the perception of the black man on the planet and in this country and the rights and all of it. But listening to him, it does make me think about today. It makes me think about, you know, you can always learn from the past about the future and about your present. You know, you learn where you came from, you learn where you could go if you're not careful. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what
you're
saying.
So, Chris, you know, he is a significant... I grew up at a time when I grew up, it was fairly, you know, new, the inclusion of African-American history. I knew it was still fairly new at the time. You know, I know in the 50s and 60s, and even my dad, you know, helped create, you know, the curriculum at City College and different schools he worked at. You know, so I knew that it was important to know about the history and what at that time was very recent history for me as a kid growing up in the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
So Martin Luther King means a lot of things to me, Chris. It means that I knew that I know what he was when I was a kid, but now as an adult I really see him differently, and I see how significant and you know, just amazing and that he was, that's all.
Hey, Byron?
Yes.
You're up on the podium. What does Martin Luther King mean to you?
In a succession of men of peace who in the 20th century tried to show the world a better place to create through peace.
How to create a better place, yes.
Using peace and nonviolence as a technique against confrontation. It's significant to note that even as we have these outbursts of today of confrontation, whether it be people losing their life in a parking lot trying to do democracy to many of events, we need to take violence and confront it with whatever peace initiatives that we have, because we're in a battle. And these men of faith, like Martin and Mahatma Gandhi and Malcolm, have made a serious effort of trying to show the world, you know, the inequities. Martin made a statement, did it well, and unfortunately we celebrate a person who's not here with us, but he has left us with a
significant legacy.
One of peace. And that's very important, that we understand the theology of peace, because it is a battle. Evil, good versus evil is fighting itself out on the battlefield.
Right.
Armageddon is having a great time.
Right. Are you a man of peace?
I am a man of peace.
I see. I wasn't sure.
I am a man. I sometimes mess up and use words.
Sometimes I jump bad.
You know, using words of
Chris too.
Mass
Chris
destruction.
Too. Yes, Chris uses words of mass destruction. I've seen it.
You know,
I've
so
witnessed
I have
it.
To, I have to
I've been witness to
back.
Your words of mass destruction, Chris.
When have I used words?
Recently, we're not talking.
Nonviolence
is
a
choice.
Chris
is like, that's so late 20th century.
But see, nonviolence as a choice and a lifestyle is one that you cannot use words to beat people up. you have to be nonviolent even in your choice of words.
So if I
words.
Say kapow,
yeah,
to
kapow means a big thing.
I think the new theology is to temper one's words.
Yes.
Well, that's your new theology?
Well, listen, yeah. I heard at church a very good sermon. He put it, the preacher put it like this. When you go to church on Sunday, why do you go to church? He said this in the pulpit this past Sunday. And this was his way of saying his theology to all that is happening. He said, you come to church for one thing, and that one thing is to get God's word. Now, if God's word is telling you to be to have peace in your life and peace on earth, why are we anti-peace?
Not everybody.
True.
Gets to
I'm just talking about the Christian ones. I'm not
the Christian.
I'll
ones.
Deal with the other religions, but the Christian ones.
Well, there it
who,
is.
Which, for which Martin Luther King followed that concept.
2950.
Person living
$50 pledge.
I'd like to get. Couldn't we get like three more?
Nonviolent.
Byron?
Yes, I would
more?
Think so. I mean, it's good
more.
Stuff. We're
Let's
giving
get like
good
an
stuff.
Even, you know, an even 10 pledges
right.
for the night. Be good.
I think
That'd
we can
good.
Make it.
If we can get even 10 pledges.
212.
We only need five more pledges.
Five more. That's
five
it.
Five more, and then we could be.
Oh.
We could say okay.
Let's go for it.
We could say okay,
Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, what do you say?
What do you think?
You think?
Yeah, I. You know,
five more pledges, right? $50.
I think that's
ding,
I think
ding,
that,
ding,
that,
ding,
that's
ding,
low.
Ding. We hit it again.
Yeah.
I'm loving you. Thank you for showing
oh, really?
Us
Somebody
some love.
Did, oh,
yes,
thank
we
you,
did.
Thank you. All right, four more pledges.
See,
212-209-2950 for a $50 pledge. We just need four more. Oh, we
Look
just
that,
need
we
three
did
more.
It
three
again.
More. Three
ding,
more.
Ding,
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 let's do it. 209-2950. No.
Yes.
All right. You know, Joe was telling me. He mentions to me, oh, you know, bananas are a natural mood enhancer.
Yes, they are.
Is that why monkeys are so happy?
Perhaps.
I have a dream.
Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream. Dream.
I have a dream. I still have a dream.
Dream.
I have a dream.
Dream.
I have a dream.
Dream.
I have a dream. I still have a dream.
Include it in there. We tell you who it is. If you want to support them, you can support them too. You like it? You with
it? I like it.
You'd be at the club?
212.
Monday night.
Oh!
Yeah. Club Night Shift.
212-209. I really could. I mean, what planet?
Let me ask you guys this question now. So,
yes,
212-209-2950.
We're going now, and do you think people are being inspired by Martin Luther King at this point to the extent that he envisioned?
Well. At the place where we are, it's like where you drop the pebble into the water and it reverberates. It goes out forward with each little echo.
It goes out forward.
Yeah, with each little echo wave, you know. And if it comes back to you, of course, the message is resonates strong, and it does. It depends on how big the pond is and how people really want, how bad they want peace. It's really to be committed to that, and it is about stopping wars, and it is about stopping violence. How bad do you want peace?
How bad do you want peace?
Because you can stop.
How bad do you want peace in your life?
A lot.
Do you really want peace in your life? How bad do you want happiness in your life, Brian?
A lot.
A lot?
Yes.
How bad?
I'd rather have that.
How far
have,
are you willing to go to be
have confrontation
happy?
All around me all the time.
How far are you willing to go to be happy?
To go to be happy?
Mm-hmm.
If I have to battle evil in the arena, you want me to go to the Coliseum
I
to battle?
Know how
I'll battle
far
there.
Are you willing to go?
I'll battle evil there.
To be
we can
happy.
Make it a spectacle. If
what
you
about
want.
You, Chris?
NFL every Sunday. Super Bowl. We want to make it the Super Bowl?
212-209. I'm going to play more of this mix, but I do want you to, Chris.
Yes.
I'm going to play
yes!
a little more. Oh, thank
bing,
you. Thank
bing.
You. One more.
Bing,
one more.
Bing.
Okay, but, and then this, after that, it's just bonus. Bonus.
Just give bonus time?
Just bonus time.
Come on now. I like to get paid for my bonus time.
So we need just one more.
Can I get a bonus? Excuse me, boss. Can I get a bonus? I've been doing this show for 11 years now. Can I get a bonus?
Yaphet Kotto from Alien.
Yes.
You all talk about the bonus situation.
That's right.
Sorry. All right, you ready?
Outlander.
Chris, before I play this, did you already have an answer? You already know? You know how far you're willing to go to be happy?
Is that a nice if question? Or
no, it's just a...
is that a Martin Luther King inspired?
It's a Martin Luther King.
Well, it's all part of the mix,
how
right?
How far are you willing to go? You know?
Well, I believe that... whatever it takes, and for me,
by any means necessary.
That snippet of the part of Martin's speech where he says you just keep moving, whatever you got to do, just keep moving. And there are times when you have to incorporate that in your life, because you're not happy or because you're not getting to the point where you want to feel you need to be and stuff. And sometimes he covered all the bases, and I think that for any moment in your life, you can grasp some inspiration from any of his speeches to the point where
I agree with you. Actually, I agree with you 100%. I think that you're absolutely correct, Chris. I think that any good advice for humanity would be good for the individual. And if you're speaking to a culture, a people, a nation, any really sage advice, you could say the same thing to an individual. Those same principles apply.
I just want to also say, if you believe in God or the Great Spirit or whatever, thank God for Martin Luther King.
Thank God.
Thank God. Thank Great Spirit. Thank, whatever the Creator is, that there was Martin Luther King.
I was in Washington. Yes. I participated in the March on Washington for that
Mr.
day.
Saunders goes to Washington?
I lived in Washington, D.C.
Mr. Saunders.
I have a Washington, D.C. story for that day when that happened, when they gave that speech.
What speech?
The I Have a Dream speech down at the Washington
You were there?
Memorial. Yes,
you
I
were
participated.
There? You participated. You were at the speech. Are you in any of the videos?
My dad and my aunt and uncles are.
Really, they're in the background?
Yes, they were on the mall itself.
They're on the mall.
Yes, I have a child's perspective from participating because my parents were involved.
But I did go
to the Poor People's March. I kept participating in that.
That
was right after his assassination. That was the Poor People's March. In fact,
what was that like? Brian?
Well, it was a muddy day. It was a day after a couple days of rain, and it was very muddy down on the mall. And the tent city that was put up had people from different parts of the country to show, basically, homeless people who lived in tent city. Tent city was not just a show of.
Did you say tent city? Okay, tent city.
Right there
city.
In front of the Lincoln Memorial.
Shantytown.
They created a shantytown on the mall of the Lincoln Memorial. And it was represented by states from across the country, people who were very poor, which was what Martin was planning to do, was to do a major march, Poor People's March, to Washington, D.C., and set up the camp there to showcase what they were referencing, because there were a lot of, at that time, people who were living in tents under bridges.
They were living in tents in the 80s, okay?
So these were not just show.
What are you talking about?
These were not just Hollywood stunts. who were out there on the mall of the United States Lincoln Memorial. These were real people who had real issues, real problems, and it was the campaign to show the world and America just how it had neglected its poor people. And it was very diversified. It wasn't just a Black People's Campaign. It had people and poor people from around the country well represented. The initiatives were great. They made a very big splash, literally, because of all the mud. And I was there, and I can tell you.
You were in the mud.
I was in the mud with them. But the tent city was real, and it lasted for about 3-4 months, something like that.
Mm.
You know, to show it, but then they cleaned them all up and you know. But
so when you were there, Byron,
yes.
you were how old?
Let's see.
11?
Well, for the March on Washington, yes, 12. 12 years old, 12, 13.
12, so then you would have been a year older for the Poor People's March?
That was 68.
That was 68. So
I was 18 and 16.
So you're 18. Okay, so you're 18 years old.
Yeah.
1968.
Yes.
Not everybody was gung-ho for the change that was coming.
Well, when you grew up in Washington, D.C., and you understand when they had the riots there after his assassination, the city was in total lockdown. National Guards had every entrance blocked off into the city and out of the city from every point in the metro Atlanta.
So what did you see through your eyes?
It was like living under occupation. It was like living under occupation. You were told you had to be off the streets at 4 p.m. My father and I were participated in a church ministry to help take foods and supplies to people who got burned out of their communities. And believe me, every checkpoint we went to, you opened up your trunk of your car to prove that you weren't transporting any gasoline or anything, but principally you had a pass, and if you were going from one neighborhood to the next, the National Guard would stop you at checkpoints and make sure you were legit. And
I have one more question I want to make sure I ask you. So during the 60s,
yes,
Byron, was there ever an experience that you came up against that you felt threatened or violence from someone else towards your beliefs?
I can remember being discriminated against.
Take us there. What was that?
As a young child, I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and I grew up in Washington, D.C. Now, we would annually go back to Nashville because that's where my dad's parents and his house was, and my grandparents and other relatives. Well, I remember taking a car trip from Washington, D.C. back to Nashville, stopping over in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my dad said we needed to get some gas, and we were hungry because you didn't have a lot of places to stop along the way because not everybody would give you gas or even let you eat in their restaurants. And so we were in Knoxville. And he said, okay, we're going to stop at the Greyhound bus station, and we'll get something to eat. It was about 10 o'clock at night. Bus station pretty much empty, cafeteria. And we went in with him so we could get some little snacks to take with us just to get back on the road. And my dad picked out the stuff he wanted to get. And the cashier behind the counter said, we don't serve your kind here. You can't sit here and eat. You can buy it, but you've got to take it out. Now, I never forgot that one moment at which my father had to tell me what just happened. Being discriminated against. He said, thank you very much. We got in Knoxville, Tennessee. He said, thank you very much. We bought our stuff. We went back to the car. He got the stuff and paid for it and brought it back to the car. Now, when that happened, the impact of it is like your country is showing to you that this is formal discrimination is tolerated. And how do I explain that to my children? You know, this is the kind of laws we used to live under. And I can share with you, as part of my own civil rights experience, I never forgot the moment, and because I worked in the civil rights experience with SCLC in Atlanta, I remember taking a bus trip from Atlanta to Roanoke, Virginia for a family Thanksgiving and stopping over in Knoxville. And I remember saying to my wife when we stopped here, I said, I can't believe this. This is where I was discriminated against back in 1957.
Heavy.
And we stopped at the bus station. I said, and I told my wife, I said, listen, I don't know about you, but I have got to go into this bus stop. I am going to sit down and have something to eat, and I'm not going to allow that past to not be reconciled. She understood. So wow. We went in, had my little piece of whatever I was going to get. Didn't matter. I had to do it. And overcoming it, because confronting it all the years, because I have to tell you, I've got in protest marches. I've put my life on the line for freedom. And I have no problems about doing it, because I believe in it. I'm totally nonviolent, and I walk with the people who did it and still do it. And that's why I practice that. However, you know, you have to understand that when you step out in peace, not everybody doesn't want to play that game. So some people want to play confrontation all the time. So we have issues we must resolve. Anyway, look at the bell.
All right, you know what? They get another taste, okay? Oh, they get another taste. Here we go.
Okay, see.
Here we go. A taste.
More.
This is part four.
Part four?
Part four.
Oh, my goodness.
I only played
part three.
This is part four. Check it out.
All right. Anyway, so.
You checking it out?
I'm checking it out. So, yes, the civil, you know, being, you asked the question. I hope that answered it for you, Chris.
Yeah, no, I not just for us, for all the listeners. I think that you are a, you know, you're someone that I'm sorry for everything that you ever had to experience that was along those lines in your life.
Well, it fashioned and molded a person.
As Captain Kirk would say, but, yes. But you know, your pain defines you? Yes. Is that what,
Yes.
All right, you fools. Captain Kirk, you bring up one more Luther King. All right.
Share your pain with me, you know.
Share your pain with me, yeah, but with his brother.
We will be able to make the American dream a reality. And I do not want to give you the impression that it's going to be easy. There can be no great social gain without individual pain. Before the victory for brotherhood is won, some will have to get scarred up a bit. Before the victory is won, some more will be thrown into jail. Before the victory is won, some, like Medgar Evers, may have to face physical death. But a physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children and their white brothers from an eternal psychological death. Then nothing can be more redemptive. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names. But we must go on with a determination and with a faith that this problem can be solved. And so I go back to the South not in despair. I go back to the South not with a feeling that we are caught in a dark dungeon that will never lead to a way out. I go back believing that the new day is coming. So this afternoon I have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day, right down in Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to live together as brothers. I have a dream this afternoon that one day. One day, little white children and little Negro children will be able to join hands as brothers and sisters. I have a dream this afternoon that one day, men will no longer burn down round houses in the Church of God simply because people want to be free. I have a dream this afternoon that there will be a day that we will no longer face the atrocities that Emmett Till had to face or Medgar Evers had to face, but that all men can live with dignity. I have a dream this afternoon that my four little children will not come up in the same young days that I came up within, but they will be judged on the basis of the content of their character, not the color of their skin. I have a dream this afternoon, one day right here in Detroit, Negroes will be able to buy a house or rent a house anywhere that their money will carry them, and they will be able to get a job. Yes, I have a dream this afternoon. One day in this land, the words of Amos will become real. Justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I have a dream this evening that one day we will recognize the words of Jefferson that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I have a dream this afternoon. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day. With this faith, I will go out the tunnel of hope through the mountain of despair. With this faith, I will go out with you and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing with the Negroes in the spiritual of old. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty.
Mike, what an incredible oration that
yes,
was.
Yes, it was. Yes,
oh,
it
my
was.
Goodness, that was operatic.
Yes, it was.
Ah. 212-209-2950.
Yes, pretty much in the annals is one of the greatest speeches ever given.
Ah. Pick up the phone.
212-209.
Make the pledge. You know you want to have a copy of this.
You want to have a copy.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh.
Listen to Martin.
Yes.
The Night Shift Way.
212-209-2950. Call and pledge. Make your pledge. Your pledge. Make your pledge.
212-209-2950. And it is quite a bit of music on there, Byron.
Yeah, quite. I like
bit,
it.
Quite a bit. Quite a bit of speeches on there, Byron.
Very good.
And I picked what I thought was some of the best.
Yes. I've enjoyed this.
You enjoyed this.
Yeah.
You enjoyed this. And we made a little money. We want to thank those who have pledged.
Lord, yeah.
You know,
the toe board was ringing. Bing, bing,
you know,
bing, bing, bing.
We could get in two more before.
Yeah,
you know, it'd be
so
nice. Maybe we could hit. You
I
know,
think
even,
so.
You know, we get four more pledges. How about four more pledges?
Oh, let's go for it.
Now, how do we get that number? How do we get it less than? Somebody just pledged something?
I guess.
All right, if
so,
you just pledge a little bit,
that's
we appreciate
too.
That.
We
you can pledge 5, 10, 25.
Somebody
say, I can't afford the 50, but I love you guys.
Yes, show us some love.
I appreciate the love.
Yes, anything is appreciated.
Knowledge from Byron and the music mixes from Mike.
Don't be guilty, as Martin would say, of standstillism.
Yeah, That's right. Don't stand stillism. Don't practice stand stillism. And you too can make a pledge. 212-209-2950.
Have our moral convictions and concerns.
So, not bad. Not bad. Not bad. I bet we can get a couple more.
I would love to round it off.
Two more.
Can we get two more? 212-209-2950.
Yes.
$50 pledge. You can get this. Just take a listen. I'll let you hear like another minute before we go.
What happened is some of our philosophers got off base. And one of the great problems of history is that the concepts of love and power have usually been contrasted as opposites, polar opposites. So that love is identified with a resignation of power and power with a denial of love. It was this misinterpretation that caused the philosopher Nietzsche, who was the philosopher of the will to power, to reject the Christian concept of love. It was the same misinterpretation which induced Christian theologians to reject Nietzsche's philosophy of the will to power in the name of the Christian idea of love. Now we got to get this thing right. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and that love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best. Power at its best is love, implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is love correcting everything that stands against love. This is what we must see as we move on. Now, what has happened is that we've had it wrong and mixed up in our country. This has led Negro Americans in the past to seek their goals through love and moral suasion devoid of power, and white Americans to seek their goals through power devoid of love and conscience. It is leading a few extremists today to advocate for Negroes the same destructive and conscienceless power that they have justly abhorred in whites. It is precisely this collision of immoral power with powerless morality which constitutes the major crisis of our time.
Morality, Chris,
which constitutes the major.
It's been real.
Totally.
Time.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Chris.
Where's the computer over here? Is this it here?
Show to deal with you guys. I love you guys a lot.
Well, thank you, Chris.
And
Chris.
I can't stay on this long. We just keep the love flowing.
Which one?
To a guaranteed.
I enjoyed doing this kind of show with you.
Yes.
It was just a little different, but you know. Well, we kept it with
Again, I want to thank those who have pledged. And if anybody wants to join them,
you showed us plenty of love. Look at that. Some bells still ringing.
Look at that.
Bells still ringing.
We're glad you're enjoying it. And thank you to Berto, who asked me to do this.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction.
212-209-2950. $50 pledge. You can get this now for the last 30 seconds. You can find us on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com, or you can email us at lifeislikesciencefiction@gmail.com, or you can friend us on Facebook at Night Shift, NITESHIFT. You can like us, and we can like each other.
212-209-2950. You can still make that call. Look at that, the bell just rang again.
Oh! Yes! Thank you.
Go Night Shift. Go Night Shift. Go Night Shift.
How come Max didn't join in? Max didn't join in.
Children, unoffending, innocent, and beautiful, were the victims of one of the most vicious and tragic crimes ever perpetrated against humanity. Yet they died nobly. They are the martyred herons of a holy crusade for freedom and human dignity. And so this afternoon, in a real sense, they have something to say to each of us in that death. They have something to say to every minister of the gospel who has remained silent behind the safe security of stained glass windows. They have something to say to every politician who has fed his constituents with the stale bread of hatred and the spoiled meat of racism. They have something to say to a federal government that has compromised with the undemocratic practices of Southern Dixiecrats and the blatant hypocrisy of right-wing Northern Republicans. They have something to say to every Negro who has passively accepted the evil system of segregation and who has stood on the sidelines in a mighty struggle for justice. They say to each of us, black and white alike, that we must substitute courage for caution. They say to us that we must be concerned not merely about who murdered them, but about the system, the way of life, the philosophy which produced the murderers. That death says to us that we must work passionately and unrelentingly for the realization of the American dream. And so, my friends, they did not die in vain. God still has a way of wringing good out of evil. And history has proven over and over again that unmerited suffering is redemptive. The innocent blood of these little girls may well serve as a redemptive force that will bring new light to this dark city. The Holy Scripture says, a little child shall lead them. The death of these little children may lead our whole Southland from the low road of man's inhumanity to man to the high road of peace and brotherhood. These tragic deaths may lead our nation to substitute an aristocracy of character for an aristocracy of color. The spilled blood of these innocent girls may cause the whole citizenry of Birmingham to transform the negative extremes of a dark past into the positive extremes of a bright future. Indeed, this tragic event may cause the white South to come to terms with its conscience. And so I stand here to say this afternoon to all assembled here that in spite of the darkness of this hour, we must not despair. We must not become bitter. Nor must we harbor the desire to retaliate with violence. No, we must not lose faith in our white brothers. Somehow we must believe that the most misguided among them can learn to respect the dignity and the worth of all human personality. I say to you in conclusion, life is hard. At times as hard as crucible steel. It has its bleak and difficult moments, like the ever-flowing waters of the river.
Byron Saunders.
Whoa.
212-209-2950.
That was the eulogy for the death of the four little bombs.
Yes.
Girls bombs in Birmingham.
What do you think? Did you understand?
Oh, every single word, because the phrasing and intention of understanding the overcoming a hatred and using nonviolence as if you remember, the 60s were very critical in terms of trying to understand the concept of integration.
Mm-hmm.
We had segregation,
mm-hmm.
and the making the transition to an integrated society.
Yes.
Had to let go of a lot of segregation that was Old South and had been federally overturned, so that in place was a government to deal with it. But the resistance to not change.
209-2950 for a $50 pledge.
Brought us to this moment where you pick up the
phone. You can pick up the phone and support.
You give
support
us
the station. We're trying to do some different things.
212-209-2950. That's right. We're a little serious this evening, but we mean what we say. That's right. This music is awesome, Mike.
For you too. Life has a soothing. Chris, are you enjoying?
Oh, you know, just you can whatever you want to play. It's just I can listen to it all the time. I mean, it's just and love to, and just, you know, I don't think Martin's speeches get played enough, actually.
If the music is good, you'll play this at home. You'll be like, you know what?
That's why we have a day that
works
celebrates.
On two levels.
That's right? That's why we have a day that celebrates his birthday.
212-209-2950.
Yes.
Make that pledge now. It's $50 pledge. I want to thank the few people who have
yes.
called
ding,
and
ding,
made
ding,
that
ding,
pledge.
Yes, ding, 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 ding,
let's see
thank
if we can get
you,
another three
you.
Pledges. That would
that's
be really
right.
nice.
That would be great.
I'm play you a
right.
little more of okay. part three. This is part three because it's four parts, Mark.
212-209-2950. How much of a pledge?
A $50 pledge.
That's it.
And you get this free. Along with the songs that I have.
And the conversation.
Song, and the, well, the conversation is free.
Free.
It's free right now.
I mean, you'd have to pay big bucks for this.
There you go.
What'd
you say?
212-209-2950. That's right. It's pledge time, folks. Get real. Get honest. Show us some
get
love.
Get the CDs. $50. Yes. 90-minute CD. You'll love it.
Yes.
And transform dark and desolate valleys into sunlit paths of inner peace. And so today you do not walk alone. You gave to this world wonderful children. They didn't live long lives, but they lived a meaningful life. Their lives were distressingly small in quantity, but glowingly large in quality. And no greater tribute can be paid to you as parents, and no greater epitaph can come to them as children. And where they died, and what they were doing when they died. They did not die in the dives and dens of Birmingham. Nor did they die discussing and listening to filthy jokes. They died between the sacred walls of the Church of God. And they were discussing the eternal meaning of love. This stands out as a beautiful, beautiful thing for all generations. Shakespeare had Horatio to say some beautiful words as he stood over the dead body of Hamlet. And today, as I stand over the remains of these beautiful, darling girls, I paraphrase the words of Shakespeare. Good night, sweet princesses. Good night, those who symbolize a new day. And may the flight of angels take thee to thy eternal rest. God bless you.
What do
you think?
Give
Chris?
Us a call. Make a pledge.
Yeah.
WB.
Are you enjoying it?
I love it. I absolutely love it.
212-209-2950. That's just part three. Like I said, there are four parts. It is now 12:59. There's only 1 hour left
Not bad. Hey, we're cooking, baby.
Let's get some, come on, we need to get three more pledges.
Three more pledges.
212-209-2950.
You're back there waiting.
Let's see if we can get... then I can play a little more to you, and you can enjoy the music and the speeches and what we're doing. And Martin Luther King.
Mike.
Yes.
Did I ever tell you the story that I was in Atlanta for the first Martin Luther King Day celebration?
Wow.
I could tell you a wonderful story.
Was that what year was that? 2000 or what was that?
No, 1987. Yes. It was an amazing event.
212-209.
I participated.
2950. I want to hear it, Byron. Yes. But we need to get three
pledges.
We
got to get the pledges.
Get three pledges, and then we can tell the story.
If y'all don't make the pledge.
Three pledges, we can hear Byron's story. I want to know what happened. Byron was there.
I was there, Mike.
212-209. Think about it.
Yes.
Listen to Martin, and think about, is this something you'd like to own? You can get pulled in by the speeches and the music.
Show some love for WBAI.
212.
We're giving you great radio.
209. 2950.
That's why this show is my favorite show.
I'm going to play a few minutes, Byron.
Yes.
And let's see if people listening can just listen and say, you know what? I'm going to get it. 212-209-2950.
Night Shift got serious.
People back there right now taking your pledge.
That's right. They're waiting.
And exploitation of the Negro or any other minority group is the price of its own destruction. For the hour is late. The clock of destiny is ticking out, and we must act now before it is too late. The events of Birmingham, Alabama, and more than 60 communities that have started protest movements.
212-209-2950. Byron.
Make the pledge.
Make the pledge.
Yes.
Would you play this to your children?
Yes. Absolutely.
You think they might enjoy it?
See, I'm a proponent of the peace theory and nonviolence because, see, you think about the great leaders of our time in the 20th century who have been nonviolence, Mahatma Gandhi being one of them. You know, I mean, we understand the need to follow an initiative of peace. And these were public demonstrations of hatred. And so we need to kind of understand what that is. Initiative of peace is all about. If it's Christianity, whatever your religion and source of a God that says that you should have peace in your life as opposed to war, then that's where we should be, is dealing with the efforts of peace.
Dealing with the efforts of peace.
That's right.
212-209-2950. For a $50 pledge, you can get these Night Shift Martin Luther King mixes.
It's
part three.
Stuff.
It's four parts. Four parts for you. 90 minutes, Byron.
Yes.
90-39.
90 minutes? Oh, my goodness.
39
seconds.
That's
amazing.
Don't forget the 39
seconds. 39 seconds. 212-209-2950. Now, you know you're loving it. Pick up the phone.
We've had some amazing pledges today, Byron.
Yes, we did.
We have a lot of premiums.
Okay.
Very interesting.
212-209-2950. And thank you for making that pledge. We really appreciate that. They're back there applauding.
$50 pledge, 212-209-2950.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What was your approach to putting all of assembling this together? Give us a little insight as to what you did.
What I had to do in a lot of ways, you know, I was thinking about two or three things. One, what music I felt could complement the energy of the speeches and what he's talking about, the content of the speeches. What music could maybe offset what he's saying, could maybe give it a little something else that only music can give. And then I also thought about, you know, paying attention. It's very easy to listen to something and not listen to the words, if you know what I'm saying. And I want you to listen to the words, so I even have some things where you have to pay attention to hear what he's saying, because though there may be music in the background, I want you to pay attention, so you have to listen a little. It forces you to listen a little harder. So those are the things I was thinking, and I also wanted to think, of course, you know, where would you listen to this? You know, when, at home, where? And where do the speeches suggest we go musically? Those are the things I was thinking, if that makes any sense.
That's you know, just your vast knowledge of music and bringing that to it. It's kind of like you were you were kind of creating something different and artistic, even from what is even there and outstanding and incredible and just all that great stuff. You're bringing even more greatness to it, which is really, really cool, Mike.
Ding, 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 ding. We hit the board again.
Somebody else agrees with you, Chris.
Thank you very much. Yes.
212-209.
Two more to go.
2952. Well, it reminded me. Yeah, putting it together. I also thought. I thought of like when we used to do those war mixes and stuff like that. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Totally. Yes. Yes. I totally remember that.
So Byron, so take us. All right. So it's 1986. You said
87.
1987. Okay. And bring us to the first celebration.
Okay. It was about 12 noon. I'm at the corner of North Avenue and West Peachtree, where the start of the start of the parade was to happen. The line that existed straight down that street all the way to Peachtree Street, past Macy's, Rich's, down Auburn Avenue to the gravesite was the parade route. All this through downtown Atlanta. Now, there were 2 million people along the site of the parade. It was supposed to start at a certain time. The parade organizers were all there. The bands were all there. Everybody was ready to start
the
parade.
What month was this?
This was April...
87.
April of 87.
January 15th.
January 15th.
Okay, 24 years ago.
In Atlanta.
It's a few days ago.
Yes. 1987.
24 years ago.
Yes, for the first celebration of Martin Luther King.
A few days ago, 24 years ago.
And so, therefore, I was there, and there were so many people along the parade route that the parade had to stop before it even got started, because in the parade, because there were so many people got into the streets to be participants of the parade.
So there was nowhere for the parade to go.
Until it started. So as the parade started, everybody got into the streets and marched. You see, you have to understand, part of the concept of the civil rights movement was through marches. And to stand on the sidelines was never part of the movement. The movement was to get people to get into the streets and do a protest march.
March, baby, march.
March. That's exactly right. So people who were standing on the side said, well, you know, the heck with this. We are the spirit of the movement. And with so many civil rights icons and their families who wanted to participate in it, that they got into the streets. And each and every one of them got a chance to be in the parade. If you chose to walk in the parade, it was a people's parade, and the entire event went down without incident and was a celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. It was a very spiritual day, all the way from parade route beginning to the end. I walked it, and I went to the King Center because I worked at the King Center. So it was just part of what my experience.
Interesting. 212-209.
It was a very celebratory day. And it was wonderful. Mm. And we need more days like that.
And you know, and
celebration.
Having these CDs,
So listen to this wonderful stuff.
Listen to these speeches and, you know, have the music playing and everything and enjoying it. You can have your own Martin Luther King Day.
Exactly.
Celebrations.
And we should celebrate it.
It's good
in
that
peace.
You make your kids, especially having two young black
two
men.
Two young men, that's right.
In this climate.
And I believe in peace. I yield to its concept of nonviolence.
You believe in spooks?
I do believe in spooks. I do believe in spooks. Now, if you know where that came from, you really are a
You're one of Byron's people.
Yes, exactly. But listen to all of this great stuff. Thank you. Ding, 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 ding. We hit it again.
212.
Yes, we're loving you. 212-209-2950.
But we don't think of you.
Yes. Why?
We still
because it's my favorite show. Night
they
show.
Are telling us over and over again that you're pushing things too fast, and so they're saying cool off. Well, the only answer that we can give to that is that we've cooled off all too long, and that is the danger. There's always the danger if you cool off too much that you will end up in a deep freeze. Well, they're saying you need to put on brakes. The only answer that we can give to that that the motor's now cranked up and we're moving up the highway of freedom toward the city of equality. And we can't afford to stop now because our nation has a date with destiny. We must keep moving. Then that is another cry. They say, why don't you do it in a gradual manner? Well, gradualism is little more than escapism and do-nothingism, which ends up in standstillism. Brothers and sisters in Africa and Asia are moving with jet-like speed toward the goal of political independence. And in some communities, we are still moving at horse and buggy pace toward the gaining of a hamburger and a cup of coffee at a lunch counter. So we must say now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to transform this pending national elegy into a creative psalm of brotherhood. Now is the time to lift our nation. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of racial justice. Now is the time to get rid of segregation and discrimination. Now is the time. So this social revolution taking place can be summarized in three little words. They are not big words. One does not need an extensive vocabulary to understand them. They are the words, all here now. We want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want them now. This is the message.
212-209-2950.
Now the other...
You can get the Night Shift Martin Luther King music mixes. I want to thank those people who have pledged.
Ding,
thank you
ding,
very,
ding, ding,
very
ding,
much.
Ding, ding, ding. We love
but you.
You
too can join those people. You only have 46 minutes left, Byron.
Yes.
That's it. 46 minutes, and then it's gone forever.
They will be part
forever.
Of an elite crowd.
An elite crowd.
And we, that's why we love
part
you.
Part of an elite crowd.
212-209-2950. Get this limited
offer. Listen to
Martin offer.
The Night Shift way.
This is an amazing crowd.
Listen to Martin the Night Shift way.
Of information.
That's right.
Come to see
and sound and music.
What a great speaker he was. What
yes.
a great orator. I mean, all these, the metaphors are so strong, and I get what you're saying, Byron, because he, you know, you really can't argue with him. He's such an eloquent speaker, but he's speaking about peace. He's speaking about equality. He's not, you know, he's in your face, but he's in your face with love.
With love, man.
With, like, hey, these are just... basic things. No, I'm not backing down.
It's based on a theology.
And he was able to take everything and yes. I don't think we could be where we are today as a people if it were not for him. He was that significant. And I have to say, Byron, it's interesting that, you know, now, you know, in the age of Obama, okay, the promise fulfilled. Now what, Byron? You know, now this is all this other work that has to be done, sort of from the other way around. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
In terms of heritage and knowledge of how we got here, and
when you put all
of it.
When you put it into perspective
all of, it, Byron.
Of what's going on now, it has impact, serious impact, but it also points to the need for dialogue and peaceful agendas.
Mm. And listening to Martin Luther King speeches.
And yes.
That you could get here right now.
Absolutely. 212-209-2950.
Have to bring it back home, Byron.
So Mike,
what?
Yes. Let's go back to this basic question right now for you. So what does Martin Luther King mean to you?
Quite a bit, you know. Like I said, listening to these speeches, you know, I had to listen to them and realizing how he's addressing all these serious, serious issues and all the turmoil and the time that it was. You know, you can't take away that whole period from the late 50s to the late 60s. How much change was going on in this country?
Malcolm X.
You know, all of it.
I mean, we can name the ones who have been trying to make change.
All of it. They all had a big part of Malcolm X, Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad is alive, but he still suffered.
I'm just saying that they all had a lot to do with the changing of the perception of the black man on the planet and in this country and the rights and all of it. But listening to him, it does make me think about today. It makes me think about, you know, you can always learn from the past about the future and about your present. You know, you learn where you came from, you learn where you could go if you're not careful. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what
you're
saying.
So, Chris, you know, he is a significant... I grew up, it was fairly, you know, new, the inclusion of African American history, I knew it was still fairly new at the time. You know, I know in the 50s and 60s, and even my dad, you know, helped create, you know, the curriculum at City College and different schools he worked at. So I knew that it was important to know about the history and what at that time was very recent history for me as a kid growing up in the 70s, you know?
Yeah.
So Martin Luther King means a lot of things to me, Chris. It means that I knew that I know what he was when I was a kid, but now as an adult I really see him differently, and I see how significant and you know, just amazing and that he was. That's all.
Hey, Byron?
Yes.
You're up on the podium. What does Martin Luther King mean to you?
In a succession of men of peace who in the 20th century tried to show the world a better place to create through peace.
How to create a better place, yes.
Using peace and nonviolence as a technique against confrontation. It's significant to note that even as we have these outbursts of today of confrontation, whether it be people losing their life in a parking lot trying to do democracy to many of events, we need to take violence and confront it with whatever peace initiatives that we have, because we're in the battle. And these men of faith, like Martin and Mahatma Gandhi and Malcolm, have made a serious effort of trying to show the world, you know, the inequities. Martin made a statement, did it well, and unfortunately we celebrate a person who's not here with us, but he has left us with a
significant
legacy. One of peace. And that's very important. that we understand the theology of peace, because it is a battle. Let's, it's been evil, good versus evil. It's fighting itself out on the battlefield.
Right.
Armageddon is having a great time.
Right. Are you a man of peace?
I am a man of peace.
I see. I wasn't sure.
I am a man. I sometimes mess up and use words. Of,
Sometimes
I jump bad.
Oh.
You know, using words of
Chris too.
Mass
Chris
destruction.
Too. Yes, Chris uses words of mass destruction. I've seen it.
You know,
I've
so
witnessed
I have to,
it.
I have to
I've been witness to
back.
Your words of mass destruction, Chris.
When have I used words?
Recently, we're not talking this.
So nonviolence is
Chris
as
is
a
like,
choice.
That's so late 20th century.
But see, nonviolence as a choice and a lifestyle is one that you cannot use words to beat people up. You have to
be nonviolent
even in your choice
of
words.
So if I
words.
Say kapow,
yeah, kapow means a big thing.
I think the new theology is to temper one's words.
Yes.
Well, that's your new theology?
Well, listen, yes. I heard at church a very good sermon. He put it, the preacher put it like this. When you go to church on Sunday, why do you go to church? He said this in the pulpit this past Sunday. And this was his way of saying his theology to all that is happening. He said, you come to church for one thing, and that one thing is to get God's word. Now, if God's word is telling you to be to have peace in your life and peace on earth, why are we anti-peace?
Not everybody.
True. I'm just talking about the Christian ones. I'm not
the Christian.
I'll deal with the other religions, but the Christian ones, for which Martin Luther King followed that concept as a person living.
$50 pledge. I'd like to get. Couldn't we get like three more
nonviolent? Yes, I would think so. I mean, some good stuff. We're giving
like
good stuff.
Even, you know, an even 10 pledges for the night. Be good.
I think we can make it.
We can get even 10 pledges.
5 more pledges.
Five more. And then we could be.
Oh.
We could say okay.
Let's go for it.
We could say okay,
Chris.
Yeah,
Chris. What do you say?
What do you think?
You think?
Yeah, I. You know,
five more pledges, right? $50.
I think that's
ding ding ding. We hit it again.
Yeah.
I'm loving you. Thank you for showing
really
us some love.
Oh,
yes,
thank
we
you,
did.
Thank you. All right, four more pledges.
See.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm in for a pledge.
Thank
did
you.
You pledge to Monroe. Monroe, thank you.
This weekend,
for
I
showing us love.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. This weekend I spoke to Ralph Nader, and I mentioned to him an idea I just had. Instead of using the word socialism, because they say there's socialism for the Wall Street and for the big banks, the big bad banks, and it has a bad connotation because there's capitalism for the people, I came up with the thought of calling the new movement Shareism. S-H-A-R-E-ism. And that is that we all breathe the same air, we all drink the same water, we all eat the food from the earth, and so forth. And so we are in a sense sharing everything, and the point is that that is the only way of the future, because we can't have all this economic exaggerations of some people. I heard that some people get $5 million bonuses or $10 million bonuses.
I want one.
That's true.
Well, no. I don't need that.
Can I get one?
No, I don't need that much.
No, of course
we can
not.
Live frugally.
I'll give it away. I swear I will. But give me a chance to
Monroe,
get it.
Monroe, when you go, they're going to have Monroe Day.
Yes.
Well,
listen,
so you know.
I'm not looking for fame and fortune. I'm looking for helping humanity to live without horrible wars. And,
I echo those sentiments.
Obama would pull everything away and stop these things.
Maybe in the second term he'll get to that.
We have not been living without a wartime economy for the last 50 years. So to live in an economy based on peace is a hard adjustment for this country. You must understand that.
That's an oversimplification of terms. 212-209. Thank you, Monroe. 212-209-2950. For a $50 pledge, we just need four more. Oh, we just need three more.
Let's do it.
212-209-2950. No?
Yes.
All right. You know, Joe is telling me, he mentions to me, oh, you know, bananas are natural mood enhancement.
Yes, they are.
Is that why monkeys are so happy?
Perhaps.
I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with heat of injustice, the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty! We are free at last!
This is one of those bonus tracks that I include in this, what other people have done. I didn't do this. But we include it in there. We tell you who it is. If you want to support them, you can support them too. You like it? You with it?
I like it.
You'll be at the club?
212.
Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
Club night shift.
212-209.
We're going to give a shout
212-209-2950.
Sharon. Choke. Shelly, Albert.
I have a dream.
So you know when you have a party, yes, you put this on, people go, where'd you get that? Night shift.
Time, so to speak. Well, we were probably one of the first bands to do New Age on stage, right? I mean, that's what.
That's right. We were
at the area club.
Alien visitors.
Yeah,
I could believe that.
Alien visitors. Oh, fire!
Right, I really could. I mean, what planet?
Doesn't matter.
Let me ask you guys this question now. So.
Yes.
212.
Where do you think we're going now, and do you think people are being inspired by Martin Luther King at this point to the extent that he envisioned?
Well, at the place where we are, it's like where you drop the pebble into the water and it reverberates, it goes out forward. With each little echo.
It goes out forward.
Yeah, with each little echo wave, you know. And if it comes back to you, of course, the message is resonates strong. And it does. It depends on how big the pond is and how people really want, how bad they want peace. It's really to be committed to that. And it is about stopping wars. And it is about stopping violence. How bad do you want peace?
How bad? Do you want peace?
Because you can stop.
How bad
it.
Do you want peace in your life?
A lot.
Do you really want
yes.
peace in your life? How bad do you want happiness in your life? Right?
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
How bad?
I'd rather have that.
How
than
far
have,
are you willing to go
to
be
have confrontation
happy.
All around me all,
right.
all the time?
How far are you willing to go to be happy?
to go to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to battle evil in the arena, you want me to go to the Colosseum
I
to battle?
Know how
I'll battle
far
there.
You're willing to go?
I'll battle evil there.
To be
we can
happy.
Make it a spectacle. If
what
you
about
want.
You, Chris?
NFL every Sunday. Super Bowl. You want to make it the Super Bowl?
212-209. I'm going to play more of this mix, but I do want you to, Chris.
Yes.
I'm going to play
yes.
a little more. Oh, thank
bing,
you. Thank
bing.
You. One more.
Bing,
one more.
Bing.
Okay, but, and then this, after that, it's just bonus.
Just give bonus time?
Bonus time. We got bonus time.
Come on now. I like to get paid for my bonus time.
We need just one more.
Can I get a bonus? Excuse me, boss. Can I get a bonus? I've been doing this show for 11 years now. Can I get a bonus?
Yaphet Kotto from Alien.
Yes.
You all talk about the bonus situation.
That's right.
Sorry. All right, you ready?
Outlander.
Chris, before I play this, did you already have an answer? You already know? You know how far you're willing to go to be happy?
Is that a Night Shift question? Or
no, it's just a...
is that a Martin Luther King inspired?
It's a Martin Luther King.
Well, it's all part of the mix,
how
right?
How far are you willing to go? You know?
Well, I believe that... whatever it takes, and for me,
by any means necessary.
You know, by any means necessary, or just that snippet of the part of Martin's speech where he says, "You just keep moving." You know, whatever you got to do, just keep moving. And there are times when you have to incorporate that in your life, because you're not happy or because you're not getting to the point where you want to feel you need to be and stuff. And sometimes, he covered all the bases, and I think that for any moment in your life, you can grasp some inspiration from any of his speeches to the point where
I agree with you. Actually, I agree with you 100%. I think that you're absolutely correct, Chris. I think that any good advice for humanity would be good for the individual. And if you're speaking to a culture, a people, a nation, any really sage advice, you could say the same thing to an individual. The same principles apply.
I just want to also say, if you believe in God or the Great Spirit or whatever, thank God for Martin Luther King.
Thank God.
Thank God, thank Great Spirit, thank, whatever the Creator is, that there was a Martin Luther King.
I was in Washington. I participated in the March on Washington for that
Mr.
day.
Saunders goes to Washington?
I lived in Washington, D.C.
Mr. Saunders.
I have a Washington, D.C. story for that day when that happened, when they gave that speech.
What speech?
I Have a Dream speech down at the Washington.
You were there?
Memorial. Yes.
You
I
were there? You participated. You were at the speech. Are you in any of the videos? Oh, okay.
My dad and my aunt and uncles are.
Really? They're in the background?
Yes, they were on the mall itself.
They're on the mall.
Yes, I have a child's perspective from participating because my parents were involved.
So I did
go to the Poor People's March. I kept participating in that. That was right after his assassination. That was the Poor People's March. In fact,
what was that like? Byron?
Well, it was a muddy day. It was a day after a couple days of rain, and it was very muddy down on the mall. And the tent city that was put up had people from different parts of the country to show basically homeless people who lived in tent city. Tent city was not just a show of.
Did you say tent city? Okay, tent
right there
city.
In front of the Lincoln Memorial.
Shantytown.
They created a shantytown on the mall of the Lincoln Memorial, and it was a lot of. It was represented by states from across the country, people who were very poor, which was what Martin was planning to do. Was to do a major march, Poor People's March. To Washington, D.C., and set up the camp there to showcase what they were referencing, because there were a lot of, at that time, people who were living in tents under bridges on
hey, listen, they were living in tents in the 80s, okay?
So these were not just shows.
What are you talking about?
These were not just Hollywood stunts who were out there on the mall of the United States Lincoln Memorial. These were real people who had real issues, real problems, and it was to campaign to show the world and America just how it had neglected its poor people. And it was very diversified. It wasn't just a black people's campaign. It had people and poor people from around the country well represented. The initiatives were great. They made a very big splash, literally, because of all the mud. And I was there, and so I can tell you.
You were in the mud.
I was in the mud with them. But the tent city was real, and it lasted for about 3-4 months, something like that.
Mm.
You know, to show it, but then they cleaned them all up and you know. But
so when you were there, Barn,
yes.
you were how old?
Let's see,
11.
Well, for the March on Washington, yes, 12. 12 years old, 12, 13.
12. So then you would have been a year older for the Poor People's March.
That was 68.
That was 68. So
I was 18 and 16.
So you're 18. Okay, so you're 18 years old.
Yeah.
1968.
Yes.
Not everybody was gung-ho for the change that was coming.
Well, when you grew up in Washington, D.C., and you understand when they had the riots there after his assassination, the city was in total lockdown. National Guards had every entrance blocked off into the city and out of the city from every point in the metro Atlanta.
So what? How did you feel? So how? What did you see through your eyes? How did you feel?
It was like living under occupation. It was like living under occupation. You were told you had to be off the streets at 4 p.m. My father and I participated in a church ministry to help take foods and supplies to people who got burned out of their communities. And believe me, every checkpoint we went to, you opened up your trunk of your car to prove that you weren't transporting any gasoline or anything, but principally you had a pass, and if you were going from one neighborhood to the next, the National Guard would stop you at checkpoints and make sure you were legit. And
I have one more question I want to make sure I ask you. So during the 60s,
yes,
Brian, was there ever an experience that you came up against that you felt threatened or violence from someone else towards your beliefs? That you remember?
I can remember being discriminated against.
Take us there. What was that?
As a young child, I was born in Nashville, Tennessee, and I grew up in Washington, D.C. Now, we would annually go back to Nashville because that's where my dad's parents and his house was, and my grandparents and other relatives. Well, I remember taking a car trip from Washington, D.C. back to Nashville, stopping over in Knoxville, Tennessee. And my dad said we needed to get some gas, and we were hungry because you didn't have a lot of places to stop along the way because not everybody would give you gas or even let you eat in their restaurants. And so we were in Knoxville. And he said, okay, we're going to stop at the Greyhound bus station, and we'll get something to eat. It was about 10 o'clock at night. Bus station pretty much empty, cafeteria. And we went in with him so we could get some little snacks to take with us just to get back on the road. And my dad picked out the stuff he wanted to get. And the cashier behind the counter said, we don't serve your kind here. You can't sit here and eat. You can buy it, but you've got to take it out. Now, I never forgot that one moment at which my father had to tell me what just happened. Being discriminated against. He said, thank you very much. We got in Knoxville, Tennessee. He said, thank you very much. We bought our stuff. We went back to the car. He got the stuff and paid for it and brought it back to the car. Now, when that happened, the impact of it is like you're showing, your country is showing to you that this is formal discrimination is tolerated. And how do I explain that to my children? You know? This is the kind of laws we used to live under. And I can share with you as part of my own civil rights experience, I never forgot the moment. And because I worked in the civil rights experience with SCLC in Atlanta, I remember taking a bus trip from Atlanta to Roanoke, Virginia for a family Thanksgiving and stopping over in Knoxville. And I remember saying to my wife when we stopped here, I said, I can't believe this. This is where I was discriminated against back in 1957.
Heavy.
And we stopped at the bus station. I said, and I told my wife, I said, listen, I don't know about you, but I have got to go into this bus stop. I am going to sit down and have something to eat, and I'm not going to allow that past to not be reconciled. She understood. So wow. We went in, had my little piece of whatever I was going to get. Didn't matter. I had to do it. And overcoming it, because confronting it all the years, because I have to tell you, I've got in protest marches. I've put my life on the line for freedom. And I have no problems about doing it, because I believe in it. I'm totally nonviolent, and I walk with the people who did it and still do it. And that's why I practice that. However, you know, you have to understand that when you step out in peace, not everybody doesn't want to play that game. So some people want to play confrontation all the time. So we have issues we must resolve. Anyway,
look at the bell. All right, you know what? They get another taste, okay? Oh, they get another taste. Here we go.
Okay, see.
Here we go. A taste.
More.
This is part four.
Part four?
Part four.
Oh, my goodness.
I only played this is part four. Check it out.
All right. Anyway, so.
You checking it out?
I'm checking it out. So, yes, the civil, you know, being, you asked the question. I hope that answered it for you, Chris.
Yeah, no, I not just for us, for all the listeners. I think that you are a, you know, you're someone that I'm sorry for everything that you ever had to experience that was along those lines in your life.
Well, it fashioned and molded a person.
As Captain Kirk would say, but, yes. But you know, your pain defines you? Is that what,
Yes.
All right, you fools. Captain Kirk, are you free with one more Luther King? All right.
Share your pain with me, you know.
Share your pain with me, yeah, with his brother.
Right.
We will be able to make the American dream a reality. And I do not want to give you the impression that it's going to be easy. There can be no great social gain without individual pain. Before the victory for brotherhood is won, some will have to get scarred up a bit. Before the victory is won, some more will be thrown into jail. Before the victory is won, some, like Medgar Evers, may have to face physical death. But a physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children and their white brothers from an eternal psychological death. Then nothing can be more redemptive. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names. But we must go on with a determination and with a faith that this problem can be solved. So I go back to the South not in despair. I go back to the South not with a feeling that we are caught in a dark dungeon that will never lead to a way out. I go back believing that the new day is coming. So this afternoon I have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day, right down in Georgia and Mississippi and Alabama, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to live together as brothers. I have a dream this afternoon that one day, little white children and little Negro children will be able to join hands as brothers and sisters. I have a dream this afternoon that one day, men will no longer burn down houses in the Church of God simply because people want to be free. I have a dream this afternoon that there will be a day we will no longer face the atrocities that Emmett Till had to face or Medgar Evers had to face. That all men can live with dignity. I have a dream this afternoon. That my four little children, will not come up in the same young days that I came up within. But they will be judged on the basis of the content of their character, not the color of their skin. I have a dream this afternoon. One day right here in Detroit, Negroes will be able to buy a house or rent a house anywhere that their money will carry them. They will be able to get a job. Yes, I have a dream this afternoon. One day in this land, the words of Amos will become real. Justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I have a dream this evening that one day we will recognize the words of Jefferson that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I have a dream this afternoon. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day. With this faith, I will go out of the tunnel of hope through the mountain of despair. With this faith, I will go out with you and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing with the Negroes in the spiritual of old. Free at last, free at last. Thank God.
Mike, what an incredible oration that
yes,
was.
Yes, it was. Yes,
oh,
it
my
was.
Goodness, that was operatic.
Yes, it was.
Ah. 212-209-2950.
Yeah, pretty much in the annals is one of the greatest speeches ever given.
Ah. Pick up the phone.
212-209.
Make the pledge. You know you want to have a copy of this.
You want to have a copy of this. Come on. Listen to Martin.
Yes.
The Night Shift Way.
212-209-2950. Call and pledge. Make your pledge. Your pledge. Make your pledge.
212-209-2950. And it is quite a bit of music on there, Byron.
Yeah,
quite.
I like it.
Quite a bit. Quite a bit of speeches on there, Byron.
Very good.
And I picked what I thought were some of the best.
Yes. I've enjoyed this.
You enjoyed this.
Yes.
You enjoyed this. And we've made a little money. We want to thank those who've pledged.
Lord, yeah.
You know,
the toe boy was ringing. Bing, bing,
you know,
bing, bing,
could,
bing,
we
bing.
We could get in two more before,
yeah,
you know, it'd
so.
Be nice. Maybe we could hit, you know,
I think
even,
so.
You know, we get four more pledges. How about four more pledges?
Oh, let's go for it.
Now, how do we get that number? How do we get it less than? Somebody just pledged something?
I guess. All right,
if you just pledge a little bit,
that's
we appreciate
too.
That.
We
you can pledge 5, 10, 25, just
somebody
to say, I can't afford the 50, but I love you guys.
Yes, show us some love.
I appreciate the love.
Yes, anything is
appreciated.
You know,
from Byron and the music mixes from Mike.
Don't be guilty, as Martin would say, of standstillism.
That's right. Don't standstillism. Don't practice standstillism. And you too can make a pledge. 212-209-2950. Look, we're going to thank these people. Look, Byron,
thank them. Oh, my
yes.
fans, I love you all. Ah. Margaret, yes,
thank you, Margaret.
That's right, New York City, Margaret. Margaret, can I just do their first name, right?
Nothing.
Yeah, just the first.
Just
name.
The first name, yes.
They know who they are. They know
oh yes, you know
people
you.
Are.
Hey,
Margaret, I love you, baby. Who loves you? Who loves you? Come on now. Night Shift loves you. Thank you, Margaret. Right on to the right order.
Right on to the right order?
That's right. Jonathan.
Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan.
Jonathan. You know who you are. New York, New York.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Showed us some love, Jonathan.
We have something in common, Jonathan.
Now, Jonathan's going to be extremely happy with what he gets here.
Yes, he will. Yes, you know, he will.
I think, Jonathan, you just won yourself a really good disc of some wonderful speeches and some great music. DGM music?
Yeah, well, you know, it's always DGM, but always.
So, Jonathan, enjoy. Hey, Monroe, like you said, show us some love. We'll show you some love back.
Monroe.
You know,
we have Monroe Day.
I like that.
Why not have it while he's alive?
Yeah. There you go. Does he get a statue, too?
He does.
All right. Right on, Monroe.
Anything
we love you.
Say about Monroe, Chris?
You know, I love him, you know, and I think that, you know, if we were to recollect back to an incredible moment would be our first show, Mike, and Monroe calling on our first show, which he obviously called everyone's show.
Did he call on our very first show?
He called on our very first show, of course.
Wow.
You've been a star for a long time, Monroe.
And as you would, not to say this in a bad way, but baptized us into BAI.
Into Monrosian, yes, yes. Right on, Monroe. We love you, Monroe. Thank you.
He probably called the first show you and Byron did together.
Yeah, probably. As I recall, because he introduced me to him.
He was up in there.
Ah, Jones. Jones.
Jones
showed us some
love.
Joan Pledge, too? Joan Pledge, too, baby. Oh, Joan.
Thank you, Joan.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Joan.
Joan. Thank you for the love.
Thank you for
like
the love.
Like Elvis would say, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Joan.
Thank you very much, Joan. Yeah. Thank you, Joan. Wow.
Yeah.
See, Joan, like me, Night Shift. It's my favorite show. Thank you, Joan. Oh, here's one for us.
Oh,
now,
oh.
Olive.
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 Oh, wow.
Olive. Hey, from the Bronx.
All right.
From the Bronx.
Yeah. You know who you are, Olive.
Bronx always comes in.
Yeah, Bronx is in the house.
All right, Olive.
Boogie down, Bronx.
Thank you, Olive.
Olive. Right on. Right on to the right on.
Olive was down.
Olive got down. Thank you, sweetie. We love you.
Get down with us, Olive. There it is.
Bruce. But for my boy from Brooklyn, New York. You the man, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce.
Right.
Yes, we love you, my friend. Thank you, dog. I appreciate that. I know you're showing some Brooklyn love. See, WBAI. Brooklyn's in the house. WBAI is everywhere. This is what I'm loving because this our fan base. Look how many people are calling from the different places of New York. Thank you for showing us the love, folks. All right, Bruce, we're gonna show you some love.
We don't have fans, we have listeners.
We got great listeners, indeed. Oh my goodness, more Brooklyn in the house. Mike.
What?
Haley from the Brooklyn.
From Brooklyn?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes, Haley
you sure,
from Brooklyn.
You sure it's Haley?
I think it's Haley.
Haley?
Yes.
How's she spell her name?
H-A-I-L-E.
Haley.
Haley.
Haley, thank you for
watching,
Haley.
Thank you.
Haley.
From
thank
Brooklyn.
You. Haley, thank you.
Haley. My Brooklynites are coming in.
We thank you, Haley.
Thanks for showing us the love.
And that's Byron's turf.
That's right. Now, y'all, just because we're reading some names here, don't y'all stop calling. Ring the bell some more.
No, if you want to join the
212-209-2950. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. 212-209-2950.
Even if you want to give $10, $5, anything right now, would show not just support, but support for tonight's evening of greatness.
All right.
Playing and giving tribute to a great man, someone that we owe a debt that we really can't pay. The only thing we can do is to be a better people, a better person, a better in everything that we can do and strive for goodness and love and believe in hope and try to make a difference.
Absolutely.
And we can all do that, and every day of our lives. And as I get older, and as we all get older, it seems that that's all that's important. You know, how we treat each other, and how we take the time to love our families, and love our friends, and love each other, and treat each other with respect, and
forth.
I like what John Lennon said. All we are giving is give peace a chance. You know, let's give it a chance. All we are saying, give peace a chance. Okay, hey, we got more support here. Pay it. Listen up, Janice from the Bronx. Thank you. Thank you, Janice. Thank you for showing us that love. Hey, Janice, I love your baby. Who loves your baby?
Janice, I love you, baby. Yeah.
All right.
Janice
from the Bronx. Yeah.
Janice, thank you.
All right, not to be outdone.
Thank you,
the fan base is back in Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Yeah, Dominique. Dominique.
Oh, Dominique.
Dominique, yes, you know Dominique.
Dominique, yes.
Yes, from Manhattan.
What about Queens, man? Queens ain't breaking down tonight.
Oh, well, as you would ask,
thank
guess
you,
what?
Dominique.
Guess what?
Queens?
What? You know who's showing us some love from Queens? From Jamaica, man.
Jamaica. All right.
Arthur
from Jamaica.
Arthur from Jamaica, no. Your
man. Arthur, man.
Your man.
Good dear.
Thank you for showing us some love, Arthur.
Queens.
So
we love you, baby.
Join the select few.
Oh, yeah,
that's right.
212-209.
Join them. Show them that you're part.
Come on.
Of the coalition of
Step
love.
Join me.
Of night shift.
That's right.
And together we can rule the gun.
This is some great stuff tonight. All right. I got one more.
One more.
Yes.
One
yes,
more?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And from Manhattan.
Right.
Yeah. Jared.
Manhattan.
Jared.
From Manhattan.
From Manhattan, man.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jared. We love you. Thank you for showing us the love.
From Manhattan.
That's right, Jared. You the man.
From Manhattan.
So. Not bad. I bet we can get a couple more.
I would love to round it off. Can we get two more? 212-209-2950.
Yes.
$50 pledge. You can get this. Just take a listen. I'll let you hear like another minute before we go.
What happened is that some of our philosophers got off base. And one of the great problems of history is that the concepts of love and power have usually been contrasted as opposites, polar opposites, so that love is identified with a resignation of power and power with a denial of love. It was this misinterpretation that caused the philosopher Nietzsche, who was a philosopher of the will to power, to reject the Christian concept of love. It was the same misinterpretation which induced Christian theologians to reject Nietzsche's philosophy of the will to power in the name of the Christian idea of love. Now, we got to get this thing right. What is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and that love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best. Power at its best is love.
212-209-2950.
And justice at its best.
You can get this. You got a minute left. 2 minutes left, and you can get this now for a $50 pledge. I want to thank all those people who pledged, Byron.
Absolutely.
Dominique.
We asked you to
Haley,
to show us some
Arthur,
love, and you showed us plenty of love.
Yes. And I appreciate that. Max, what's coming up next?
Amy Goodman, Democracy Now.
Democracy Now at 2 a.m. Look at that. Just for you. Okay, we got
two callers on the line.
Oh, come on, quick. Hurry, get in that pledge. 212-209-2950. There are people calling. Thank you. Thank you. Please do my
immoral power with powerless morality.
Chris,
which constitutes a major.
It's been real.
Totally.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Chris.
Where's the computer over here? Is this it here?
Show to deal with you guys. I love you guys a lot.
Thank you, Chris.
And I can't stay on this long. We'll just keep the love flowing.
Which one?
To a guaranteed I enjoyed doing this kind of show with you.
Yes.
It's a little different, but, you know. We kept it with
Again, I want to thank those who have pledged. And if anybody wants to join them,
you showed us plenty of love. Look at that. The bell's still ringing.
Look at that.
The bell's still ringing.
Glad you're enjoying it. And thank you to Berto, who asked me to do this.
Yeah, step in the right direction.
212-209-2950. $50 pledge. You can get this now for the last 30 seconds. You can find us on the web at lifeislikesciencefiction.com. Or you can email us at lifeislikesciencefiction. Nation at gmail.com, or you can friend us on Facebook at Night Shift, N-I-T-E-S-H-I-F-T. You can like us, and we can like each other.
212-209-2950. You can still make that call. Look at that. The bell just rang again.
Oh! Yay! Yes! Thank you.
Go Night Shift. Go Night Shift. Go Night Shift.
How come Max didn't join in? Max didn't join in.
We're working hard for this, Max. All
right. Until next week.
All right. Showroom is closing up for the next routine coming up.
Shuttlecraft
department. We must create full employment, or we must create...